Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello, my name is Mike, and today's show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. It's quite simply the best way to support this show. If you need it, Amazon has it, and you can get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Bookmark it, please.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
It is always a pleasure to welcome someone who is truly funny to the Mike O'Mara Show. And I will tell you that Rob, I think this is one of our favorite guys ever
to
be on the show.
Absolutely.
I've been a fan for years and years. He will be appearing at the Paramount Hudson Valley in Peekskill, New York this Friday, July 31st. Well, let me get all the plugs out of the way right
okay.
up front.
Very good.
Saturday, August 8th, he's at Carmine's Comedy Club in Poughkeepsie. Saturday, August 15th, he will be at the Act Two Playhouse in Ambler, Pennsylvania, starring in Big Pants and Hot Flashes.
Nice.
And also on Monday, August 17th, he will be at New York City's legendary Birdland at 7 p.m. You can get tickets for that at Ticketfly.com. We welcome one of the funniest guys. I love this man. Kevin Meaney is
Kevin.
Joining us. On the Mike O'Mara Show.
Right there. Oh, my God. It's great to talk to you. It's been so long. Where have you been? What have you been doing?
I've just been dealing with a failing career, Kevin. Other than that, everything is just hunky-dory. But, I'll tell you, every now and then I need a shot of eeny meeny. And let me tell you, we've got that today. How have you been? I'll tell you one thing right out of the gate. You look fantastic. You lost about 1 million pounds. You don't look like a man of 84. It's truly incredible how good you look. What did you do? How much weight did you lose, Kevin? You lost a ton.
Well, I'm not eating. I'm starving myself to death. And people say, how did you lose the weight? How did you lose the weight? I'm starving. That's how I lost the weight. Kevin, eat once. I'll have a rice cake occasionally.
Oh, that's I think that's probably more and more people are coming out saying that's really ultimately what you have to do. You have to starve yourself.
That's the only way to lose weight, you know. And I'm a vegetarian now, and people say, "Oh my God, you're a vegetarian! Oh my God, you're a vegetarian! Where do you get your protein? Huh? Where do you-" I said, "I'm gay. I'm getting plenty of protein."
Oh my God! I can't. I can't imagine.
That is so disgusting. I'm sorry.
That is. You know what? Welcome to the land of disgusting. You know we love. You heard the guffaws. We love the disgusting. And how is the new improved gay Kevin Meaney doing anyway?
Well, I tell you, I'm working out like a madman, doing that Fonda workout, Peter Fonda workout. That's where I wake up in the morning, take a hit of acid, smoke a joint, go over to my sister's house, ask her for money.
Bada bing, bada bing.
I tell you, this is a great, you're a great audience, I'll tell you that much.
Kevin. We love you. I've loved you for a long time. Now, I know you're doing stand-up all over. Tell me about Big Pants and Hot Flashes, because that is a stage show? That's a play? What is that? It sounds interesting.
Well, it's a show where a friend of mine, I met this woman about a year ago, and she said to me, "Oh, we worked together in the 80s. And I said, "Oh," and she goes, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Of course I remember you. My God, it's so good to see you." And so I said, "What have you been up to?" "Well, I had a sex change operation."
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
I said, "Wait a minute, I don't remember you. Tell me the story." So she was married, and she had a wife and children, and she had a sex change operation. You know, this is what she, you know, what she wanted to do her whole life, you know. And so it was kind of bittersweet. It was sad, and it was, so much courage that this woman had, Julia Scotty, and her name previously was Rick Scotty. And I came out. I don't think I was out when I was on your show last time.
You had just come out.
You had just come out. As a matter of fact, you had just done that. Yep.
So both of us had gone through this transition of, you know, changing our lives, you know, turning them upside down in our early 50s, you know. And she had and I had, and we became good friends, and we decided to do this show, Big Pants and Hot Flashes, and it's both of our stand-up performances, and then at the end of the show, we'll do a Q&A. So it's kind of a an awareness show of for the LGBT community and for everybody to come out and see this show where there's two people that are both very funny, you know, and for, you know, people to come out and ask any questions they want and enjoy a great show. And
how incredibly timely is that with the whole Caitlyn Jenner situation? I mean, that is just, you know, and I would imagine with the publicity and the all of the attention that was heaped upon Caitlyn Jenner, and obviously you put this thing together prior to that, it's got to feel pretty good to see all this attention on this situation, because I mean, I think the trans community for a long time really misunderstood, and it's just I feel like there's been a tremendous awakening in the American public. Do you agree with that?
I do, but you know, a lot of people are still angry and they don't know how to deal with it. And I think through stand-up comedy, I think, you know, they can be aware and they can understand, and they can, you know, kind of, you know, be more accepting towards, you know, just people. You know, this is what, you know, people go through a lot of stuff, you know, and, you know, you have to be accepting towards everybody. And, you know, this great woman, she is terrific. She's funny, and she's just, you know, she's got a big heart. And, you know, I just think the world of her, and we really became good friends over the last year. I can call her anytime I want, you know, and, you know, I just adore her.
Have you found, you know, has it been a smooth ride since you came out, or has it been difficult, and how, you know, how has that progressed? Because it's been a while since we've talked to you.
I think it's been, you know, mostly a smooth ride, but, you know, I've lost a lot of work, you know, because of just, you know, people that, you know, they think that I'm a, you know, a gay comedian, and I'm not. I'm just a comedian.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people will just say, well, I don't want him in my club. And, you know, there's certain social limits. I think, you know, people just, they don't understand. And I think this show kind of brings that. It's a lot harder. First of all, my ex-wife and I are best friends.
That's great.
So, you know, we've really come, you know, from a place where she didn't want to talk to me, and she was really angry, and I don't blame her, and I was angry at her. And then, you know, we really came together for our daughter, and then through our daughter, we became, you know, really best friends again. So, I mean, I can call her anytime, and, you know, we have a terrific relationship, you know.
That's great, and I've seen pictures of your beautiful daughter online. I love it when you post those pictures of your daughter. Rob had a question. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, with the Big Pants and Hot Flashes, you say you close the evening with a Q&A. Now, you're well-known for your stand-up. How does the Q&A go? Do you enjoy that as much as the stand-up? Do you think that people leave the night with a better understanding because of that?
You know, it's kind of like a radio interview. You know, I don't know what you're going to ask.
Right.
And, so you just have to be really honest about, you know, your stand-up performance is, you know, your stand-up performance. You've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you add a new joke here or a new joke there or a new bit, you know, and you kind of rehearse it. But when you do an interview, you have to be honest. And that's the great thing. Yeah, and in stand-up, you have to be honest. So, you know, for many years I wasn't. So now I have this, you know, I've been freed up. I'm free, everybody. So it's kind of a rebirth. You know, it's great to be able to just go up there and speak your mind. And some people get upset about it. You know, I didn't come to hear that. I didn't come to hear any of that stuff, that, you know, that gay stuff, you know. But I don't do like a, it's more of who I am than, you know, it's not a sexual routine. You know, it's not, you know, I'm not, And it's like when I was married, I never talked about
it. I find myself, I have to interrupt you because I find myself right now writing jokes for if Kevin Meaney had a sexual routine. And it would tie into your old material, but it would, you know, which
that's
we all know and love
right.
you for.
Don't be talking about sex on stage. Stop.
And I'm thinking.
Hearing about that.
That's right. What are you doing with that, man? You'll put your eye out. That's the one. That's the one that comes to mind. Right away with that. You know, and is that frustrating when you've got such tremendous notoriety for the big pants and you'll put your eye out and that's not right. And do you? I know that we've talked to TV people for years and years. If you're on a sitcom, some people can embrace the fact that that's what put them on the map, and other people say, oh, I'm tired of hearing it. Where do you – I think I've asked you that question before. Where do you line up on that? Do you mind people coming up and say, hey, do the big pants bit, your eye out?
Never. You know, okay. I mean, it did put me on the map, and if people come up to me on the street and go, oh, God, we're big pants people, I go, get those tight pants off. Walking around.
I don't know why
who
that
needs
works.
To be looking at the package? God. Go upstairs and wash between your legs.
I don't think we can ever. Your brand of comedy is so. I've always found it to be so incredibly unique because
I never worry about anybody stealing my act.
No one could steal your act.
Because you try doing that. You try doing this act. It's not an easy act to do.
It's not. And then, of course, the triumph for me, and we've played it on this show time and time again, is the bravery to stand in front of a stand-up audience and you deliver a line and it's a clunker and you launch into I Don't Care, the Broadway song. Did that happen organically? Did that happen where you... or was it planned? How did that? I never asked you that question. How did that develop? Where you started singing "I Don't Care" to a stand-up
totally
audience?
It's a song that was written back in 1929. That was because of the stock market crash. Mm-hmm. So I guess a bunch of people were sitting around going, oh, my God, we just lost everything. I don't care. So it's in the public domain now, and it's a song that, you know, I can use. People think I wrote it, but Judy Garland, did it in the good old summer time. I heard it through... I sound so gay right now, okay? but Edie Gourmet from the Steven Edie.
Of course.
Edie Gourmet recorded it back in the late 50s, early 60s. Yeah,
more and gay. There you go.
And that's gay, okay? Very gay.
That's gay. And that's very gay, right?
I heard her do it, and I was laughing so hard that it just cracked me up. I go, this is the most ridiculous song I've ever heard in my life. You know, I'm happy-go-lucky. You know, women call me plucky. I don't care. And I was like, well, who? These people must have been on acid when they wrote this song. Or they must have lost every cent they had in the stock market.
But it's so brave when you pull out a 90-year-old song, you're challenging the audience that you say, I'm going to tell a joke now, and if you don't like it, whatever, and now I'm going to sing it at you. It is just so brave.
I wrote these jokes that were completely horrible, and they were, the jokes were, I drove cross country, and I really got to see the country. There was no dotted lines between the states. Also, Kansas is not pink. These are math jokes, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, but I like them anyway. I just like them because it's
and
you
I
said
go,
it.
And they are funny, you know, in a stupid way. And I go, I don't use a map. I use a globe. You know, you try to get the, you can't get the you can get the map in the glove compartment, but try getting the globe in the glove compartment. And then the audience is just like, you know, sitting there, and I go, I don't care. go over, I don't care. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Bing, bing, bing. Ruff, ruff, ruff. He's singing the whole song.
I love this guy, kind of a little
Ethel Merman spin on it. So
yeah. Well, you got I think you've got Ethel Merman, you know, qualities in your delivery, Kevin. I think you've had that for a long time. You know, you can hear
I've
you in
been
the back
called
of the year, right?
Tom Chales of the Washington Post said I was the illegitimate love child of Jonathan Winters and Ethel Merman.
Wow, high praise.
So, that is tremendous praise.
A woman called me. I was doing a show last weekend up in Albany, and she goes, "You remind me of if Liza Minnelli and Nathan Lane had a baby." I was like, wow, I like that.
You know, I'm so glad you came out, Kevin, because, you know, it keeps getting back to the very gayest of subjects. It's fantastic. We love that. And, you know, Liza Minnelli, can you get any more gay than Liza Minnelli? I don't think you can. I don't think that's possible.
You know, I asked my mom, I said, you know, she's best, my mom. And I said, well, Mom, did you ever think I was gay? And she goes, well, you were always answering the door. And I have no idea what that means. You know?
I don't either.
On that note,
and people would come over for dinner all the time. They'd come over for dinner, and you know, when Mary and I, you know, were together, and they'd say, "Oh my God, who decorated the house?" And Mary would go, "Well, Kevin did. He chose all the color palette. Yeah, Kevin did." And you know, "Oh my God, who does all the gardening? Kevin does all." And then I'd be inside cooking with an apron on and a chef hat, and they would say, like, under their breath, they go, "What is he, gay?" And I'd be in the kitchen, "No, I'm not gay. You're gay. How about that? How about if I turn the tables on you? You're gay."
Oh,
and that was the
God.
Gayest thing you could say, you know. So it was horrible. So finally, oh, you know, when I went to go on Broadway, and, you know, I met all these wonderful people, and right. People say to you all the time, they go, "Does Broadway make you gay?" Yes, it does. And even if you go see a show, you can become gay, okay? Not regional theater, but Broadway.
Yes. Mike,
Broadway.
Not regional, you're saying.
The great gay way. We've renamed Broadway now. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Kevin, always a pleasure to talk to you. Is there anything on your list of upcoming shows that you want to plug more than the others? We got a list here. I know that Friday you're going to be up in Peekskill, New York, and you live around Midstate, don't you? Don't you hang out? Isn't that your stomping ground?
Yeah, I live in Forestburg, New York. It's a great little community, and I live right outside of Monticello, which is the sexual offender capital of the world.
So, that's nice.
Anyway, it's they can follow me on Twitter at Kevin Meaney, Meaney, and of course on Facebook, and mostly I communicate with people through Twitter and Facebook, and you know that's that's what people do now.
Yeah, well, I remember the last time we had you on. I think we were doing the whole Facebook thing. Was it relatively new, Rob, that we were doing? And we got
Kevin.
We got everybody.
Oh my
friend.
God! You were the guys. You were responsible. I said I wanted five because the cap is 5,000, right?
Right.
Right.
And I said, well, I only have 2,500, and you go, we'll get you 5,000, and it was because of your show that day. It just kept, I remember leaving your studio and my phone just kept clicking, you know, another one, another friend. So, half of my friends are from the Mike O'Meara show.
Awesome. Oh, that's cool.
We love you, Kevin, and you're going to get more today. So follow Kevin Meaney. Get all the information at kevinmeaney.com. You can friend him on Facebook or follow him on Facebook now. Like him, whatever they do. That's the way it goes. We live it. We breathe it every single day, but I still haven't figured it out. Kevin, it is always a pleasure.
Can I say hello to Oscar?
Yes, say hi to Oscar, yes.
Hi, Kevin.
Oscar hasn't said a word.
Oh, there he is. There's Oscar.
What are you wearing?
Thank you.
What are you wearing?
Oh, I've got some chaps on. Hey,
he didn't leave Oscar out.
Nice.
You know, it's Oscar.
No,
well,
said it would be Oscar. It would be Mike, Oscar, and himself. And I didn't hear anything from Oscar.
Well,
I thought maybe it
I was.
Why don't you tell Kevin Meaney why, Oscar? Let's be honest.
I was speechless
you were,
because I answered the door all the time when I was a kid. I decorated our condo.
Whatever you do, don't go to a Broadway show.
And I will cook sometimes when my girlfriend, who doesn't cook, doesn't want to do anything.
Do you have a cat?
No, I don't have a cat.
Okay. All right. I had a cat and I wore a bow tie.
Yeah. Hey, I got to ask you, Oscar.
That's Kevin's cat. He brought the cat into the marriage.
In 1987, how old were you, Oscar?
I was in second grade.
Seven or eight.
That is when Mr. Meany here slayed it on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
One of the greatest debuts ever on the Tonight Show.
One of the all-time great debuts on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and you were in second
grade.
That
is some different comedy. I've never seen that before. That is some really that is different. I haven't seen any comedian do such different material. Ed, do you agree with me, Ed?
Oh my God! How many times did you do the Tonight Show with Johnny? Not the J version. How many times did you do the Tonight Show with Johnny?
Probably about maybe seven.
Wow.
Seven, eight times.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's really one of the great. It was made for you, and phenomenal.
He loved me. He just loved me, and I loved him. And I wrote him a letter when I was 14 years old. I told him he had moved from New York to Burbank, and I was only 14 at the time, and I was so mad that he had moved out of New York. And I wrote him a letter. And I was I washed dishes then in pots and pans, and I wrote him a letter saying that I was the fastest pot washer on the East Coast, and I would take on his West Coast pot washer in a competition. and then he, when I finally got on the show, I said, Johnny, I wrote you a letter when I was a kid saying I was the fastest pot washer on the East Coast and I would take on your West Coast competition. He turned to Freddie DeCordova and said, why didn't we have him on the show, Freddie? Why didn't we have this kid on the show back then? I would have loved a pot washing competition. So it was just weird.
Phenomenal.
Oh my God.
At Kevin Meany on Twitter, we followed you. I followed you, Kevin.
Fantastic.
Very happy to have you. And really, for me, it was a kick because I used to listen to you on Mike's show when I was just a listener. So to have you on, just following along and taking notes to figure out when I'm going to come out.
Okay. Well, you have my number, and I live in the woods.
I live in the woods. Kevin Meany. It's KevinMeany.com. Get all the information. We love you, and don't be a stranger. We're going to make it sooner next time. We love you, Kevin, and good luck with everything you do.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Oscar.
Thank you, Kevin.
Oh, man, that is fantastic. Now we can start the show. Go ahead, Rob.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I don't drive that much. I have a jetpack. I drove cross-country. Really got to see the country. Notice that there's no dotted lines between the states. Also, Kansas is not pink. These are map jokes. Please try to follow me, all right? Great jokes to tell in the car. I don't use a map. They're too big. You open them up, they're as big as the car. You should be like me when you drive. Use a globe. Have that baby right next to you while you're traveling. Well, I'm in North America. Can you tell me what latitude I'm in? Tough time getting that thing back in the glove compartment, you know? Get it back in. No place for your gloves. I don't care, I don't care. My jokes don't go over, I don't care. Everybody, I don't care, I don't. He does not care, I don't care. I don't care, I don't. He does not care, I don't care. I'm happy, go lucky, women call me plucky. I don't care, I don't care. Shut up, I don't care. One more time. I don't care. We hate you. I don't care. This is stupid. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I? Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
You know what? There are guys that are that have certain unique styles. He is one in a million.
He really is.
Always a pleasure. We are live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is The Mike O'Mara Show. We're on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you are here, ladies and gentlemen, you do too. Our show today brought to you by HomeLight. Buying and selling a house, probably the biggest decision you'll make in your lifetime. Please take my advice and do it with the best realtor. You need HomeLight. HomeLight is the best new way to find your perfect real estate agent. Their technology analyzes home sales data and client reviews to find the best agent for you based on past performance. The right way to do it. The smart way to do it. HomeLight was founded by smart guys at Stanford. It's backed by Google. HomeLight agents are all top 5% producers, and they're proven to sell faster. And here's the best part, for up to a 9% higher selling price. Don't you think you want to do that?
Sure.
Yes. They are experts in marketing and prepping your home for sale. Plus, they're honest, professional, and reliable. Here's what I want you to do. Visit HomeLight.com today. That's HomeLight.com. Click on the microphone in the right-hand corner and enter our promo code TMOS to contact your perfect agent through the HomeLight website. Or give them a call, 844-321-AGENT, and tell them that Mike sent you. HomeLight.com, the best way to find a real estate agent, and we love that company. I'll tell you something. Having that guy start a show, everybody should start a show like that.
That's the way to do it, right?
And I like to, you know, to hear the serious side of Kevin Meaney. And, you know, the one question I was going to ask him, though, since he is closer to the whole LGBT community, you know, when is it okay to, you know, I'm finding myself during every show now so conflicted because I support Caitlyn Jenner.
Of course.
But the impression is just too dear to me to give up on a, you know, on a daily basis.
I will text him after the show and get an answer for you.
And I don't care. But anyway, that's Kevin Meaney saying that. So, how are you today, Oscar?
I feel great. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I did the late night drunk dialing tour last night.
It was late night.
Late 11:30, correct?
Yeah.
It was 11:30, which
is
super late.
I thought something was wrong.
Well, I called my friend on the West Coast, Cappy, because Cappy left me a message over the weekend, and I hadn't gotten back to her. And, you know, I was sitting there. I'd come back from dinner and a couple of toddies with my lovely bride. She had trundled off to bed. I'm sitting on the porch with a cigar and a smiling Irish bastard. And
a real cigar or an electronic cigar?
A real cigar.
It has been a while for you, hasn't it?
No, I've been doing that. You know, periodically, once every couple of weeks, I'll have a cigar. A
couple lines of blow.
Sure. yeah, right. Tons of cocaine up here in the great state of Maine.
Well, he's out of Disco Biscuits.
It's the Great White North.
I'm kind of ramped up, and Carla goes to bed, and I'm sitting on the porch with a stogie and a smiling Irish bastard, and I call Cappy, and I get her answering machine, and I'm like, bummer. I really, because Cappy and I will, you know, talk on the phone. She's one of the few people I can talk on the phone with for a very, very long period of time, and I don't do that. You know that, Rob, and you know that, Oscar.
Yes.
I hate doing that.
You have a demeanor. Your phone demeanor is that of someone in a dental chair. It's uneasy and ready to be done with it. That's
Can't
how
stand
you do
the
it.
Phone.
You don't like it.
Unless I'm really in the mood.
Right.
And the only way that I get in that mood, ladies and gentlemen, is when I have been a little overserved. And so I get the answering machine and I'm just crestfallen.
Peeved.
I'm like, this was my... Because I'm not going to be in this frame of mind because, contrary to popular belief, I don't do that every night of the week. I said, you know, bummer.
How do I harness this energy?
I've ramped up to this. I'm ready for this conversation. And I'm like, well, I know that periodically Oscar Santana will drop a text or an email or maybe even a voicemail if something's really important after 11 o'clock at night.
Yes.
I figure... Oscar doesn't sleep, so Oscar is probably up.
And, Children of the night.
I had to talk to somebody, and so not only did I talk to Oscar for a good long time, but I got off the phone with Oscar, and then I called Cappy again, and she answered this time.
Fantastic.
Yay! It was fantastic.
What time did he call you? Do you know
11:34.
If he called me at 11:34 and I saw that, I would assume death in the family. I would say, you know, I would answer. I'd say, don't worry, I will send flowers to Oscar's funeral. Because that would be the only thing that would make you call me that late at night, I would think.
Yeah, I was worried. I said, hey, because I was actually doing homework. Right. And I called and I said, is everything okay? I think that's the first thing that came out of my
first
mouth.
First thing you said, is everything okay?
Yes. Wow, yeah.
And I of course, used my Caitlyn Jenner. Everything's just fine. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I just, for some reason, it's Kevin Meaney. I can't help myself.
He gave me a great excuse to say, he goes, oh, no, I've had a few beers. I just want to call and say hello. And I said, I'll have a beer with you. I hate my life right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Virtual drinking. Next step, Mike, will be FaceTiming him.
I took advantage of Oscar's FML moment, and we chatted for a while, and then talked to Cappy, and then when I woke up this morning, I realized that the smiling Irish bastard is poisonous. I know. I know that.
Death,
we
where is thy sting?
I know we promoted this company. I know they're fine people. They're not sponsors of the show. I'm saying it's poisonous. And Carla looked at me, and actually, when you can get sympathy, when your wife looks at you first thing in the morning, and she looked at me, and I got sympathy. That's all I want to say.
You dropped a clue before the program that I didn't realize that would be related. Yes. Is this why you didn't mask up last night?
Mask up? Yeah, because the machine that I have.
The CPAP machine, yeah.
You can't mask up when you're not near the machine, which is in the bedroom, and you're on the couch.
Oh, so you couched it last night.
I couched it, woke up at 5:30, maybe 10 minutes before the little guy's going to get up, and I crawled into bed, and I believe that when he did wake up at 5:45, Carla heard this under the cover. She heard,
can you give me just an hour? Can you please, for the love of God, give me just 1 hour, please?
And she did, and I recovered, and everything's right with the world.
Daddy, so. You smell like hops.
That's right. Yes. Thank you. And here's the thing. You would think that it was the booze.
Yeah.
No, it was the second cigar.
Never again.
And get up. I've taken 3 showers, and I still smell like a cigar.
Anyway, we'll take a
break. Come back with more fun and more thrills right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. And thank you for joining us, Kevin.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Gary Stein.
I am Tony T. Perkins.
And on this week's episode of the show, my middle initials left me.
I know, Anthony.
Listen, we are going to talk comedy.
Sure.
We've got Paul Provenza on.
Why not, Ben?
One of our favorites.
Yes.
Do you have anything more to contribute?
No. Go.
Paul Provenza's on the show, and it's going to be hysterical. Listen to the Tony Perkins Show, subscribe at iTunes, and listen on the brand new Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I was like a little kid yesterday. This is before all the dialing happened at night. This is yesterday afternoon. And the FedEx guy arrives. And you have to be a pretty good company when something average as shaving gets you so excited.
Yes.
My Harry's package arrived from FedEx yesterday. I'm on the porch. The guy has this tiny little and I knew what it was, and it was just like Christmas morning. That's pretty good when you can do that, and that's what Harry's does. We're talking about shaving. Shaving is fantastic thanks to Harry's. They take the guesswork out of shaving because they send blades direct to your door based on how often you shave, and I got my package yesterday, and I'm so very happy. Shaved with my Harry's this morning.
Mike, we must be on the same cycle, because I got my package this week, too. I'm a subscriber, and every whatever, they've determined it, I get the package, I get the blades, and I get shaving cream. Bam. It's fantastic.
That's the Harry's Shave Plan. They ship high-quality razors straight to your door. Deliveries are customized to your shaving routine. You never run out of blades, and did we mention their prices are absolutely astronomically good?
Can't beat it.
And I shouldn't use astronomical when I'm talking about prices. Go into a drugstore, price the razors in there, and then check out Harry's. They're incredible. They have such confidence in their German-engineered blades. There is a 100% satisfaction guarantee that your first shave plan order includes a free handle. How great is that? Start your Harry's monthly subscription. Never worry about buying blades again. Never. As a special offer for new customers, get your free razor and save $5 off your first subscription with the code TMOS at checkout. That's harrys.com. Use our code TMOS and start shaving better today. So, Rob, you had something. We taped the bonus show yesterday.
Yeah.
We didn't get to it on the bonus show, but I'm thinking about Kevin Meaney right now. I'm a big banana guy. I'm
easy.
I truly am. I'm a, well, it's the only way I can put it. We eat a tremendous amount of bananas in the O'Mara household. I talked about that pancake recipe where the bananas, and it's banana based. That's the batter. You mash the bananas, put a little cinnamon in it, you have a pancake. But you were going to talk about something that is terrifying, and that is a banana crisis.
I sent you
a worldwide banana crisis,
Mike. This could be the problem in the near future.
He tells you yes. We have no bananas.
Did you hear about this, Oscar?
We have no bananas today.
Did you know there was a banana crisis? Do you have the link I sent you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, there was a banana crisis, I think, in 1965 that resulted in the variety of bananas that everyone is eating back then. They had to burn down the plantations because the virus or whatever, this disease, this plague, got into the bananas and ruined it.
A banana disease?
Yes.
It's a fungus. It's a fungus. Oh.
And the problem is that the banana, the problem, Oscar, is Big Banana. But Big Banana is so focused on getting bananas out that they're not diversifying and they're not trying to find a disease-resistant strain of bananas, and we're screwed. Banana-loving Americans are screwed.
What about the second banana, the plantain?
That's not a banana. And the second banana is also what I believe I was called on the old show.
But I thought bananas were just bananas. They're not. The bananas we eat now, and they call them your grocery store bananas, were developed after the other bananas were completely wiped out.
Mm-hmm. So, wait a second. The bananas I eat today they were made in a lab?
No,
listen to this. Let me read the story, just part of it. It says 50 years ago,
e-banana.
We were eating better bananas. They tasted better, they lasted longer, they were more resilient, and they didn't require artificial ripening like they do now. That's gross, isn't it? They were simply put a better fruit because they belong to a different species. I guess it's called cultivar in banana parlance. It was called Gros Michel. And that was the name of the strain of banana. It remained.
And if you've ever strained your banana, you know how painful that can be.
And it remained the world's export banana until 1965. That year, it was declared commercially extinct due to a disease, a fungal disease that started out from Central America and quickly spread to most of the world's commercial banana.
Well, spray some tenactin on it.
Tough actin tenactin.
But I mean, they can't. You know, it gets into the soil, and they literally go. That you can't grow them.
Did you see the picture that I sent you where it actually they had to torch entire plantations because once that disease, that plague gets into the bananas, they're done.
There's a
name for today's banana, the grocery store banana. It's a great, great name. Sounds very British. The Cavendish.
Oh, hello.
Cavendish.
That's the banana. It's the Cavendish.
What about organic banana? Same deal?
Yeah.
That's what I'm curious about because I'm a big one for the organic bananas, and Carla doesn't like to get them because they're green most often when you see them in the grocery store, but I'm like, well, that's why you put them out on the counter and they turn yellow and they ripen. That's why, but she doesn't like to buy.
But the thing
is, there's a big difference in the taste of organic bananas and regular store-bought
bananas. I think that
banana.
Even the organic banana is the same strain, just raised differently. Because to read that article, they're all Cavendishes, right?
Yes, it says there are hundreds of banana varieties in the world, but the Cavendish alone accounts for nearly the totality of exports. So that's it. The ones that we eat are this one particular strain, and now they have this disease again. It's called Tropical Race 4. It started out in Malaysia around 1990, and it's wiping out bananas. Everyone who's ever had athlete's foot knows how hard it is to get rid of a fungus.
See?
That's what this is. It's a
fungus. That's right, Tony.
That gets in. I'm learning so much about this, and Rob showed me the pictures of these decimated banana plantations, and I can't live without my bananas.
I know. Big Banana is ignoring this until the last minute, just like they did in the 60s. Those who ignore banana history are doomed to repeat it, Mike.
How much do bananas cost now? I don't do the grocery shopping. The lady in my life does that.
I think they're about 99 a pound. Does that sound about right?
I'm not sure because I don't pay attention to that either.
That crooked joint Wegmans, they'll do a loss leader on banana just to get you in the door.
This is kind of nerdy, this article, but the Cavendish is under attack from this pathogen. Local varieties are under attack from the Cavendish. I don't know what to tell
you. What's the one fruit you could do without? You couldn't do without. You could
couldn't
not do,
do
without. You couldn't do without
apples.
Oh my God, the apple.
I couldn't do without apples.
Well, oh, you couldn't make do apple without pie. Apple. I thought you were saying you apple could fritter. Do without
no, 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 no. But I'm even talking about just the varieties. Although you can have your red delicious apples. That's garbage.
So if you have one fruit, if you have we have to break. We will come all back right. And I think about fruits.
Okay.
Oh, I know mine. I know mine. Okay. I'm going to go
mine is Kevin Mead. No, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Mike O'Meara Show. I can make that joke.
It's silliness is all it is.
Thank you very much. We'll be
right. It's not right.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody. It's Open Mike, the audiobook. Thank you so much for making this a smash hit on iTunes. We're really, really proud of it, and you're going to love it. It's the story of the Mike O'Meara Show is read by the authors. Mike, Rob, Oscar, in their own words, the entire book, and then some. Do we have a clip of the Mike O'Meara Show audiobook today?
We do. Yesterday, we featured my faultless impression of Steve Bridges. Today, we feature Kathy Parsley, known as Mike. I should say Mike. Kathy Parsley, Nay O'Meara. And we get to see...
why do you say Nay O'Meara?
Because born O'Meara, but now called Kathy Parsley. That's how they write it in the paper.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
It's the crappiest put together instant replay in the history.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you how my instant replay was put together. These were put in at a variety of audio levels, never uniform.
Run the board. Run the board, man, please. Jesus Christ.
I couldn't get my hand on it quick enough. Jesus.
But in any case...
Much better.
Better.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Today's
no, the second one comes in louder than the first one. Jesus Christ.
Someone's hungover.
Oh, my God. My head. Oh, my God. That hurt. If you guys think it hurt you, imagine what it did to me on this end. It
knocked tiles off the wall. Today, we examine the complex relationship.
It's like an atomic bomb going off on your head. That's what it is, right into your ears.
The complex relationship between Mike and Kathy O'Meara.
Kathy Parsley.
Mike was born early because he was sort of small, ironically. Go figure that. He was a little tiny baby, around 5 or 6 pounds. He had some breathing problems at birth, so he stayed at the hospital for a few extra days.
Hateful.
That's my impression of my sister. I forgot. That's goddamn funny. Anyway, $6.99, now available. Download it instantly on iTunes or at MikeO'MearaShow.com or Google Play or Amazon. You're going to love what you hear. Welcome back to the show. Whoa, whoa. I was thinking about the fruit, and I would probably be with you, Rob Spiewak. I think the apple... It would be tough to live in a world without apples. That's the fruit I eat more than any other.
And you know what? You can have, there are certain apples you can have. You can have your red delicious apples.
Yes.
You can have, you know.
Fuji.
Fuji is not a great apple. It tends to get
mealy.
Oh, it
mealy. Is. The Fuji's a fine apple. Come
Fuji.
On.
Well, yeah. The Fuji can get mealy.
They're crispy.
What about, but you know what? Golden Delicious is great. Nothing. Great apple.
Well, and you know, I did a whole series of shows on the Honeycrisp.
Remember,
thank you.
You were single-handedly responsible for its rise to power.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, nobody will ever give me the credit I deserve for that. But yeah, the Honeycrisp. And by the way, the Honeycrisps became so popular that they had knockoff Honeycrisps that weren't really Honeycrisp. The real Honeycrisp.
Honey with two N's.
Yeah, you know, it's just they're conjuring because you were in the grocery store game. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. I do.
They played around with it. Okay.
The original Honeycrisp, the one that we fell in love with, had a short and hot run its first year.
That's right.
Remember? It was like maybe 2 weeks total.
And it was as big as your head. Too.
Exactly.
Remember that? They were big as your head.
Then they start coming up with these things that look like strawberries. Oh, these are Honeycrisp. Sure. Knock, knock. Wink,
not
wink.
The same.
Not the same. Not the
but
same.
You know what? Up here in the Great Pine Tree State, I have to tell you, the blueberries are coming in. The blueberries are coming in. Had some wild Maine blueberries yesterday, and they are
would you describe
fantastic.
Them as Bob Hope would describe them as wild?
Ladies and gentlemen, these are wild. We have wild blueberries, not those. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob for wild blueberries, not those pesky cultivated pieces of crap you get from New Jersey. These are wild, wild Maine blueberries. Yeah, yeah. Let me see. How about that Wyman's company? Oh, they own the whole state, don't they? Yeah. They own the whole state. They're wild blueberries coming your way. Yeah, that's a wild blueberries. It's wild, baby.
After
wild,
the show, baby. We'll explain to Noel who Bob Hope is.
Yes.
Oranges, I think, would be my fruit.
Oranges are great.
You can't because you get vitamin C and you get orange juice.
Yeah, but you know what else? As far as when they're good, as far as the fruits that when they are good, they are sensational. Peaches. peaches are really off the chart when they're good.
I think the peach sucks as a fruit.
Why?
I'm not a peach person.
Why?
I don't like it. Because it's got a pit in the middle of it. I mean, you can't just, you know. Well, I know that you have the seeds for
not
the
apple. Not seedless like an apple, I was going to say.
Okay, smart ass. No, but here's the thing. How often, you know, with an apple, if you get the right variety of apple.
Sure.
And I'm starting to sound like Rob. If you get the right varietal, your apple is a pretty consistent go-to. That's not the case with a peach. With a peach, you can bite into it, and it might not be at the right level of ripening. It might be one of those cultivated peaches that's sour, absolutely.
But you got to see, that's why the peach has a very small ideal window of eating. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so great. And when you bite into like an August peach that is juicy and ripe, that's sensational.
You got to get the reentry window, Mike.
Yeah, you got to get there.
It's like plums. Plums
but
are
we
the
have
same way.
Neglected,
plums are
I think,
the same way.
One of the great fruits of all time, and that, of course, would be the when it's ripe, when it's perfect, the strawberry.
Love a strawberry.
The strawberry is absolutely incredible when they are perfect. And, you know, they cultivate those, too, and they cultivate them organically. And I think an organic strawberry blows away a regular
strawberry.
The
best thing is that Big Daddy used to grow strawberries. He did a lot of gardening. Mm-hmm. And if you would go out to a strawberry patch and pick a strawberry, not in the morning, but in the afternoon when it was actually warm from the sun, no flavor like it.
Yeah?
Just out of this world.
How long did you stay out there?
I'm still there now. The hard part, I had to come in because I ran out of whipped cream.
Can you imagine? Little Rob.
Can a ready whip?
Hey, you know what? I found a different whipped cream up here.
What?
I don't know if they have it in the grocery stores down where you guys are.
Yes.
You're familiar with the Vermont company known as Cabot. They make the cheddar cheese.
Yes, of course.
That fabulous. They make whipped cream, too, now.
Wow. How is
I think
it?
They
what
are
about
gonna,
the teddy bears?
The Vermont teddy bears?
Vermont teddy bears. I don't know. Talk about them when they're a client, for God's sake.
They can't all be winners.
Yeah.
I know.
Yes, true. We're just waiting on one, though, Oscar.
I don't care.
Oh, you know what? Well, speaking of that, Mike, I'm glad you did a callback. I actually have the song that Judy Garland sang.
I don't care. I don't care what they may think of me.
Hey, Noel.
Yeah.
Do you know who Judy Garland is?
I know the name.
Attagirl. Oh, there we go.
Hey, that's good. Have you been studying old celebrities to fit in better with this show?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Do you know,
can you tell me, here's your question of the day.
Mm-hmm.
How are Liza Minnelli and Judy Garland connected?
Ah.
Oh, that's a question that I don't know either. So
you don't know the answer to that either?
No, I don't know.
Well, then Noelle's certainly not going to.
She may. Who knows?
Let me ask Pony. Pony will know. Pony, do you know how they're connected?
Oh, yeah. They were on I Love Lucy together.
You don't know either?
Oh, this is so horrifying.
This is so sad, isn't it?
This is sad.
Rob, I think we can
it
be
makes
sad.
Me feel that we are not doing our job.
I know.
I mean, just based on the fact that we've spent... between us 5 years with each of these guys, they should know this just by having it sink in.
Let me tell you, boys, that Judy Garland is Liza Minnelli's mother.
Wow. Now this makes sense.
And it's always so upsetting when you see Liza all drugged out and addled, and she'll come on and she'll say, well, when Mama talked to me, and Mama, and she talks to her about Mama, and it's just scary.
That's why she's so celebrated.
One of the reasons.
Because she's Judy Garland's daughter.
Yeah, she
carried
the mantle.
What? I'm going to move on. I'm going to pivot on to another
that
subject here.
Hey, what maybe... fruit does Liza like?
David Guest.
Thank you, we got it. That's gay humor for Rob Spiewak and Mike O'Mara. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Knock on the door. There's a funny joke. Thank you. We loved it. Nobody else will get it, but we'll love it. All right,
that's
let me pivot on this one because, Noel, another question for you, okay?
Okay.
Judy Garland starred in one of the great children's movies of all time, and it's been a popular movie for decades. And most children have seen this movie, and maybe even you have seen this movie. Can you tell me the name of the children's fantasy movie that Judy Garland starred in?
I'll just guess.
Okay, that's good.
Mary Poppins?
Very close, but no, that is
one.
Incorrect.
I've got a guess.
Oscar Santana, go ahead.
Sound of Music.
No, that is incorrect. And I will tell you, with both of those choices, you guys are a couple of decades too late.
I won't even give them close on that. That's not even close.
Now, Pony Boy. Tony boy, do you know the answer?
Was that the Wizard of Oz? Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz!
Yeah. Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz. And Noelle, have you seen The Wizard of Oz?
Yes, of course.
Okay, very good.
Ruby and so, slippers.
This is the definitive song, Judy Garland, ladies and gentlemen. That's who Judy Garland is.
She
that
sounds just like Liza.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
There's some similarities there.
Wow. Well, the mama sang it. They wanted to cut it out of the movie because they didn't want mama in a car in a farmyard.
How do you remember this? This is awesome.
I'm going to see if I can find Liza for
so when... Did Liza ever own a pair of those ruby slippers?
No. As a matter of fact, all of them went to private collectors and things. The Smithsonian has one, yeah. And then we just had the story about the pair that was stolen.
Yeah.
I think Debbie Reynolds bought a pair at the auction in 1970. There were four pairs.
Between Kevin Meaney and these discussions, this is the gayest show we've done in 5 years.
We're celebrating.
Rob, I have gone into my instant replay.
Yes.
I have found cut 482.
Oh, I freaking know where you're going with this.
All it says is Liza. It could be a variety of them. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But let me say, ladies and gentlemen, I will play this. I hope it's good.
Yeah.
Liza Minnelli. You know what? I'm so sick of this.
No, don't break it.
Mike, I think I actually have that cut right here.
Oh, he's got it. He's got it.
Okay.
Hold on. Not worth it at all.
That was from The Exorcist, right?
Is that completely distorted?
It's horribly distorted.
It's horribly distorted.
How loud did you put that in the replay?
No, it used to work. It used to work.
I'm talking about the replay itself is redlining. The actual replay itself is
peaking. It possibly that it could have been altered after the fact? Because there was a time when
it
played right.
It used to work really well.
Yeah.
How do I turn it down? I'm going to do this right now.
Menu.
Menu.
And then, I guess, edit cut. And then...
It's been some time.
It's been a while since I've used this piece of equipment.
Yes.
It says adjust head point.
Not head point.
Okay. Output gain.
That would be good. That'd be good.
Yes.
Back off on the output gain. All right. What you want is lower.
Lower.
Lower, baby. Lower.
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 All right, I'm going all the way down to the bottom with it right
there. Excellent.
There you go.
And now we're going to talk.
And then I put enter.
Enter.
Yes.
Enter, baby.
All right.
Enter to hearing loss.
And,
and what's great is we're helping preserve her memory.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Digitally.
No, there's no other show in America that's doing this right now.
Well, the Liza cast.
Weird. Right, huh? And now I'm going to try it again because I want you to hear Liza.
Yes!
Yeah!
Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks?
I don't think I totally destroyed the show.
No, and what you've done is you've improved the show because now we know that we have Liza to go to when we need
her. She's back, baby.
And the time is often.
Do you have any Liza yourself in your little machine there?
Mike, funny you should say.
Ladies and gentlemen, as our Garland Minnelli tribute continues on the Mike O'Mara Show. This is this Garland or Liza singing this song?
This is Liza. The world goes round.
It's 2:45.
Sometimes you're happy. And sometimes it's sad.
I got the wrong song.
But
the wrong
song.
Let me go see if I can't fast forward to a finish here because
sometimes.
Do you have any other Liza in your machine?
Hey, tons of Liza.
Quick question, gentlemen.
Yes.
She was in Arthur on the Rocks.
Yeah, and Arthur as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Liza Minnelli, and now you can turn her off because I can't stand listening to her. I will tell you this. Liza Minnelli took one of the great comedies of all time, Arthur, and almost, in my humble opinion, single-handedly ruined it.
Because it speaks well of the movie, though.
Dudley Moore was so fantastic
Start
in that movie.
Start spreading the news.
Shut up, Liza. Thank you. So Rob's going through his Liza music now like a maniac. I will tell you, Liza Minnelli.
Yes.
What's this one?
Oh, Mike, it's what it is. It's talent. That's what you're talking about right here.
Liza Minnelli, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, it's a 12 minute. And what is she doing during this? Is she scratching?
Doing blow.
I'm not sure. Maybe this time.
I'll be lucky.
Maybe I feel, this time
I, there's a segment of our audience that's truly tracking with this, but I would say there are many more people are going, what the F are these two doing today on this show?
I know we can't stay with the cut, but this is the rare recording of Maybe This Time where she soils herself. So it's...
Fantastic.
No, I'm
but
sorry.
She ruined
too much.
You've seen Arthur, Oscar.
Well, as a kid, my parents had HBO and they would never monitor what we watch.
Home
and
box right, office, so you, Mike.
Yeah, and I would, right. I would, as a kid, I'd be like, that's the funniest old man I've ever seen. He's just drunk buying everything.
A bit of it. I fell out of the goddamn door. Yeah. Isn't that the funniest thing ever?
But I tell you, Liza Minnelli, I watch Arthur, and I haven't watched it in years, but I watched Arthur, and then I'd watch it on cable after the fact. Whenever she would be on screen, it just almost destroyed the movie for me because she was so Liza, and it was just she didn't belong in that movie. I don't know how you'd recast that as a.
Who would you put in that
interest.
Role? And I mean, you can even
Kevin
go
Meaney.
Yeah,
I would put Kevin Meaney.
He'd be
in I would make Dudley Moore gay, and I would put Kevin Meaney in it, and it would have been a much funnier movie. That's just my opinion on that.
But I mean, can you think of even anyone modern that you could put in that role and make it work?
You know what? You don't.
They
need
did
a comic
the horrible remake.
Actress.
They did
you
a horrible a, remake with.
You
it.
Don't need a comic actress. You need a hottie. You need a hottie
yeah,
in
like
that because you want somebody that would be, you know, strong, like Candace Bergen, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
Candace Bergen would have been perfect in that. That's still being very gay.
Murphy's Law?
This is one of the instrumental tracks from
Murphy
Arthur.
Brown, not
Murphy
Murphy's
Brown.
Law.
Murphy's Law. Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, Noel.
Yep.
Because this is now becoming one of my favorite features. Do you know who Candace Bergen is?
No.
James Garner?
Sounds familiar, but no.
Okay, that's good for the bio.
Pony, do you know who Candace Bergen is?
I have no idea. I'm sorry.
You know, you're
he's really disappointing.
You know, he had a really on day yesterday. You really are. You're altering your pills, right?
Oh, stop it.
Because you are. You're inconsistent.
Well, no, Candace isn't really. She's not like a megastar. The only reason I know is because of you guys.
Murphy Brown was,
oh, she was
huge.
Was
a massive
in
television
the 70s.
Show.
She was very little. Very,
yeah, we were kid. Well, he was definitely a kid.
Yeah, true.
Was Murphy Brown in the 70s?
No, it was
80s.
In the 80s. 80s.
80s, 80s. 80s, yeah. 80s TV show.
I know Moonlighting.
Moonlighting, one of my all-time favorite
Sybil Shepherd.
Shows. Yeah. Mm. Yes. Sybil Shepherd in Arthur.
Sybil Shepherd would have been perfect for
exactly, because she can play comedy, too.
Absolutely flawless. That is the best casting decision I've ever heard.
And only
put
6 feet
Shepherd
taller.
In Arthur.
She's only 6 feet taller than Dudley Moore.
You put him on a box. But he's supposed to be little,
yeah,
right?
That's true. That is true.
You know, remember when he says you don't have like 500 short pants in your closet? Remember when he talks about
right.
that? That would have been perfect. That would have been absolutely incredible. And it's not going to get us our bananas back. That's
no,
for sure.
And it's you know, I think it's nice that we've raised the mood of America because we are a country in banana crisis.
How did we go? Sometimes I look back at these shows and I say, how did we go from a banana shortage all the way to Liza Minnelli and then wrap it up with Dudley Moore?
I know it was your favorite fruit. It went from bananas to crisis to what fruit can you not be without?
Yes.
And then I don't know how we got to Liza from
Hey,
there.
Noel, I've got to, you know, turnabout is fair play because we've been giving you a hard time about being so damn young. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you this. Let's turn it around on me.
Okay.
And ask me a question about any celebrity that you know that is in your eyes a big star that I might not know. Can you do that? Do you think you could pull that off?
Okay. It's going to be related to music and you're not going to know it.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Lauren Ashton.
Ooh.
I know Lauren Ashton. I know I've actually collected some of her music. I have two of Lauren Ashton's singles on YouTube right now.
Really?
It's Lauren as a guy.
Oh, damn.
Mike Romero with the fail. I blew it. See, doesn't now Noel, doesn't that feel pretty good?
Sure.
Don't you see why Mike does it?
Yes. You know, I love it because I love watching the interns' personalities develop on the show. And,
yes.
You know, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing talking to Noel on a regular basis.
Still waiting to see Mac's personality show up.
So this is a guy, Lauren Ashton?
Yes, like Lorin.
And what would be his most famous song?
He is most famous song. He has a bunch. He is bass nectar. He's like... crazy.
Oh, he's a DJ.
He's a DJ.
Oh, wow.
Producer.
Oh, he's a DJ.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like Deadmau5.
So, yeah, something like that.
Like that, see?
He is. Dead Mouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or as I used to call it, Dead Mouse 5.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like, if you saw Bass Nectar or Lauren Ashton, he looks homeless. Legitimately, I just found him.
Wow. Does he look like one of those people that they have outside the Walmart up here?
Yeah, but
gutter punks.
Bit.
Does he look like a gutter punk?
He does. He does. I'll give you that. Okay. Yeah, I'll send you a picture. Okay.
Very good.
No, that look is in. So I'll tell you that.
Very good.
Very cool. All right. One last question, Noelle. Are you high now?
No.
Okay, just checking. Okay, thank you. We'll take a break. And news you may not need coming up on the Mike O'Meara Show. I love not seeing her. It's like this disembodied voice that I hear.
Pay no attention to the intern behind the curtain.
We'll be right back on the Mike O'Meara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show.
Because I had not eaten like that in maybe 2 or 3 months. I thought I was going to throw up on the spot. It was that heavy and that disgusting.
Did you get
actually
the sweats?
Can feel it. I loved it going in. It tasted fantastic. Mm-hmm. But immediately, like maybe within a half an hour, I was just like going,
ruh-roh.
God, that is so nasty.
You know, many times I've lost weight. I've lost hundreds and hundreds of pounds through the years. And I know that when you are on the right road to eating right and then you have a meal like that, you really do feel ill, which is why, Mike, I always power through and stay with it.
The Mike O'Meara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Thank you very much, Rob Spiewak, and welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Touch of Modern. We love Touch of Modern. I was surfing it earlier in the week and checking out some, they have such a wide range of prices on Touch of Modern, but their deals are truly spectacular, and you can linger on this website at touchofmodern.com. You can do it all afternoon. All of their items at touchofmodern.com are selected to grab your attention, and they're all at unbeatable prices. We love the site. Always cool, always changing. Touch of Modern scours the globe for unique design-focused products to forge your style. They've got tech. They've got iPhone cases. They've got watches. They've got sexy home decor. They've got men's fashion and accessories. It's all going to get you noticed because they take time to give you the really cool stuff at touchofmodern.com. Check out their website. You will love it. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access when they sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today because tomorrow it will be totally different. That's how life rolls in the fast lane. If you want to see some stuff that you don't see anywhere else,
so
ladies
true.
And gentlemen,
yes.
Go to touchofmodern.com. And now let me make sure, because we had a little problem before with our audio. I want to make sure that I've got the levels right. I don't think this is going to blow you out of the water.
All right.
Truly think it's going to be A-OK. I don't know what happened today. Maybe it's what happened last night. I'll be honest with you. Hit the music, boys.
Right.
No, see? I knew it.
Oh.
Boo.
News.
Oh.
News.
Much better.
Boo.
My name's Mike. And I'm a professional broadcaster. Us Weekly says Ben Affleck has been enjoying the erotic services of 28-year-old Christine, I believe the name is Uzonian,
who was
hired by Ben and Jen this past spring to watch their kids. Kind of a traditional scenario there.
Smells a little like Gone Girl.
Yeah, kind of tough. Supposedly, things started getting physical between them when Ben and Jen were on a trial separation, and when Jennifer found out, she fired the nanny. But Ben's probably still hitting that because they were seen together as recently as July 17th.
Wow. You can save time, Mike, if you just call them Bennifer.
Bennifer. Ben's rep has come out swinging, saying, quote, all allegations of a romantic relationship are baseless and untrue. We are considering legal options.
Wow.
So that's
she looks like she's just shopping with him. If she's the nanny, she's going to carry some bags as well, right?
Yeah. She's shopping for a bag in his pants.
And she's kind of a plain Jane. I think if he's going to cheat, he's got to...
Caitlin, how do you
options.
Feel about that comment by Rob Spiewak? Can you come in?
That was completely inappropriate.
I'm sorry, CJ.
But really, if they can't prove it, celebrities win these lawsuits against these tabloids. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a reputation as a tough guy, but even he doesn't get why the Minnesota dentist felt the need to pay $55,000 to have some African locals lure a protected lion out of a park so he could kill it. Arnold, I love this tweet, and I rarely just share a tweet with
Arnold
you.
Arnold getting involved.
But this is Arnold's tweet. He goes, killing a lion isn't ballsy. Going into the octagon or joining the military, that's ballsy. Try that before you kill a lion.
I agree.
He's right.
I love Arnold. I applaud Arnold for that. That is fantastic.
But can you even see Arnold tweeting? I think it would take a long time.
You know, everybody said this guy.
Remember my password?
Killed the lion. You know, I've seen the pictures, and there are so many pictures of this douche with dead, beautiful, rare animals. It's just
he thinks he's in the Predator. You know, what I mean? He's going around the world.
He's a cut guy.
Yeah,
he's a buff guy.
Definitely
he's out
on
there.
Steroids.
Yeah, he's trying to be Mr. You know, and you know, really because on the scale of medical professionals, really isn't the dentist kind of the wimp of the medical world when you
just
really
above the chiropractor?
The orthodontist is pretty low.
Thank you, Pony. Thank you for that contribution. We appreciate it. He's here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Jose Canseco is totally cool with Caitlyn Jenner. So cool that he plans to spend... He finally got it in. So cool that he plans to spend an entire week as a woman to show his support. And that means wearing full makeup and dresses. He's doing it for his new internet reality show, Spend a Day with Jose.
That's my favorite internet reality show.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they got the trademark to that name because Oscar actually was pitching it to his brother. But he says he's taking it seriously, and he really does support Caitlyn. He says, quote, in the very beginning, I didn't understand it, kind of like a lot of people.
Sure.
So I was kind of, like, against it. Once I watched it more and more and realized what it really entailed, what he was going through, I started supporting him. So, you know what? Nothing wrong with that, and I'd certainly like to see the pictures of Jose Canseco.
I don't think we need to invest any time watching an internet reality show, but a photograph would be nice.
Be a lot of fun. Rumor has it that the NFL was willing to reduce Tom Brady's 4-game suspension by at least 50% if he admitted to having knowledge of the deflating, admitted to not cooperating with the investigation, and apologized. Well, we all know it didn't happen. They're coming out guns blazing with the Patriots. In a Facebook post yesterday, Tom, I hate the word double down, but that's what they're calling
Everyone
it.
Says it.
Here's his quote. He said, I'm very disappointed by the NFL's decision to uphold the suspension against me. I did nothing wrong, and no one in the Patriots organization did either. That's kind of making a fist with this situation.
Wait, you hear what Bob Kraft says in the audio vault. He's a dick.
Okay, so he's in it too.
Oh yeah.
He's jumped in the fight. I'll be looking forward to
You'll
that.
You'll like this.
So we'll have to see what happens with that. But it seems to me that they're going to be going to war with the NFL.
Two different stories.
Two totally different stories. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. A 17-year-old named Sylvia Stoll was working at her job at JCPenney last week.
Good
gig. We're not sure where the store is, but apparently she'd only been working there 2 weeks. Her boss pulled her aside and told her she had to go home and change because the red shorts she was wearing were too revealing. There's only one problem. Sylvia had purchased the shorts at the JCPenney career section.
Wow.
There you go. She told the manager it wasn't fair to send her home for that, but he insisted when he asked her how long it would take her to go home and change, she said, it'll take the whole day because I'm not coming back. I quit.
Ooh, so face.
That's why this became a big story, because she got the pants that the manager at JCPenney kicked her out for at JCPenney. So that's
in her pants.
In her pants. Thank you for making that story interesting. And now a little something-something. With the huge number of people moving back with their parents these days, we can assume these kind of fights are going to become more and more common.
Yes.
31-year-old Jesse Randolph of Muncie, Indiana, was in the car with his mom on Friday and asked if he could move back home while he figures things out. But his mother said no. In fact, she told him that he should get a job instead. I think it's a legitimate request. Jesse's response was to flip out. He ripped off the rearview mirror of and he hit his mother with the rearview mirror, and then he began to choke her, and he also pulled a knife. Now, she wasn't hurt.
Good.
She was pretty shaken up. She drove to his ex-girlfriend's house, dropped him off, and then went to a church and called 911. He was arrested for aggravated battery, intimidation, criminal confinement, and strangulation. And for some reason, after I saw this, I just said a little prayer that Ponyboy never gets violent. Glenda? Call us if things get out of control.
Please.
Just let us know.
Rages out.
Yeah. We will take a break, come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is exciting.
exciting for the Rob and Joe Show, Joe, that we have Marcus Cerda is going to help clean up our audio a little bit.
Yeah, but he's not going to be involved in the content of the show, is he?
No chance. I mean, we were trying to do a comedy show here. We want it to be funny and entertaining. So he's just going to make it sound better, not actually going to like add his thoughts and opinions and his wacky I'm a DJ voice thing.
Yo.
Every week, we promise no more. Subscribe on iTunes. Listen to us on the TMOS app.
Yo.
Is that Cerda doing that?
Yeah, what they're doing now, they've got a system. Rob and Joe are sending their promos to Cerda, and Cerda's producing them. It's fantastic.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, Amazon, you really have been delivering for us on Amazon. Please keep it up. Share with me what your purchases are on Amazon. We want you to go through MikeO'MaraShow.com to do it. Anytime you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a tiny percentage. That's how this game works. If you're shopping Amazon anyway, please shop in a way that helps out the Mike O'Mara Show. It's a big part of what we do, and it makes sure that we can continue to successfully bring the Mike O'Mara Show to you on a daily basis. Go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website or click on the shopping cart icon on our app. Then shop like you normally would. It's that simple, and hooray for back to school. Get all your back to school stuff on Amazon and do it through our page. Let's open up the audio vault for today, Thursday, July 30, 2015. Rob Spiewak.
Hey, Mike.
Hey!
Sometimes when a show has been on a long time, sometimes it gets the future right even without trying.
Yeah.
This clip was floating around on YouTube yesterday. This is The Simpsons from the year 2000. Now, it's funny to think about, wow, The Simpsons, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, this is from the year 2000.
As you know, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump. How bad is it, Secretary Van Houten?
Well, remember when the last administration decided to invest in our nation's children? Big mistake.
So they predicted the possibility of a Trump presidency 15 years ago.
Wow.
Pretty wow.
Pretty
cool.
Crazy.
That's
huh?
kind of cool. Yeah. I like that a lot. Very neat.
While we're talking Trump, have you heard about this attorney, Elizabeth Beck, who was doing some sort of legal deposition with Donald Trump some years ago? And she needed to take a lunch break because she needed to pump breast milk.
Yes.
And Donald Trump said she was disgusting for doing it. Here's her version of the story.
When lunchtime came around, Donald Trump did not agree to the break. He had an absolute meltdown. When I said that I needed the break and it was for breast pumping purposes, he got up, his face got red, he shook his finger at me, and he screamed, "You're disgusting, you're disgusting." And he ran out of there.
And the weird thing about it is that's not usually a word that Donald Trump uses.
Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. She's disgusting.
She was so disgusting. Not funny and disgusting. These weak-kneed politicians, it's disgusting.
It's a disgusting design.
Disgusting windmills.
Ugh, she's disgusting.
It's disgusting!
Thank you, Mr. Kimmel, for that montage.
That's a... Hey, you know, and just a little side note on the whole breast pumping thing.
Yes.
That's not just because a woman wants to go out by, you know, it's a convenient time and she wants to do that. Women, when they are breastfeeding, they get, you know, they fill with breast milk, mm-hmm. and they actually have to deal with it. Yeah. And so that's why this woman was doing that. Just a little, you know, I have a little breastfeeding knowledge, you know, because I've, you know, I've been a father. And so that makes him more dickish, in my opinion.
And there is really a Madonna song about that. It's called Express Yourself. So Express if you want to go on iTunes,
very
you can buy that.
Thank you for making it gross.
but we mentioned earlier, Patriots owner Bob Kraft. Now, it's a very select club when you own a football team, and they tend to be rather cliquish and clannish.
It's only a handful of them.
32, right?
Yeah.
So when
can I do something here? Can
sure.
I actually do my Bob Kraft impression?
Sure.
That because I haven't heard him in a while, and I have not heard this cut.
All right.
So I want to see if my Bob Kraft matches with the other. You know,
I could.
Tom Brady is completely free of any guilt in this situation.
That's
my
crap.
I think you're going to be pleased.
Right,
but what I was saying is that normally all these guys stick together. Here he is trashing the NFL. You don't hear this much.
Back in May, I had to make a difficult decision.
Mike, let's have another reset on that. Your voice, please.
Back in May, I had to make a difficult decision.
Thank
you.
That I now regret.
Yeah.
I was willing to accept the harshest penalty in the history of the NFL for an alleged ball violation.
All right, let me stop you right there. Okay. Does it not sound like this man has eaten a Dove bar right before he is giving his press conference?
Also, this is a situation where you're wearing a blue shirt with a white collar, and the white collar is 3 inches too small.
Yeah, Bob Kraft. Well, let's listen to the whole thing again.
Oh, you want to start from the front? Okay, very good. Bob Kraft.
Back in May, I had to make a difficult decision that I now regret. I was willing to accept the harshest penalty in the history of the NFL for an alleged ball violation because I believed it would help exonerate Tom. I was wrong to put my faith in the league. Given the facts, evidence, and laws of science that underscore this entire situation, it is completely incomprehensible to me that the league continues to take steps to disparage one of its all-time great players. Personally, this is very sad and disappointing to me.
I would be careful bad-mouthing the very people that give you 1/32nd of all the TV money.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know? Look, I'll tell you something. What they're doing is, you know, the best defense. That's what they're doing here. But I will tell you, I'd like to hear more facts come out.
He has final say, though. The commissioner, within their bylaws, has final say.
Mm-hmm. Has final say the way they do. And haven't we? I mean, he destroyed the phone, man. Come on.
Yeah, but Tom's saying that he didn't destroy the phone. He's saying that he didn't, and that Roger Goodell's slandering him. And that's not really what happened.
I had heard that they had the opportunity to go through and just give them the content on the phone that related to the scandal as determined by Brady's camp.
Who is telling the truth?
It's a very, very interesting situation, and there will be more to come on this. It'll have to happen.
Mike, I know you love drummers, and this is some creative drumming. The guy's name is Brian Titchy, I believe you say his last name. He drummed for Whitesnake for a few years, but he's on his own now. He's incorporated something into his kit. You know, some people will add a cowbell or a gong. Mm-hmm. He's incorporated a speed bag that boxers use when they train. So here he is drumming the Rush song Limelight with drums and a boxing speed bag.
That's brilliant.
Very cool.
He's gotten so good at it, he's actually incorporated it into his touring kit. So if you see this guy in a gig, he's got his drums and a speed bag.
That is very, very cool. I would love to see that.
I like that.
That's very unique. Very, very unique.
So check that out. And also, Mike, if you have some time this weekend, you may want to go out to California. The Orange County Fair is happening in California this weekend.
The Orange County Fair in California is going on right now and features deep-fried Slim Fast bars. Deep fried Slim Fast bars. It's perfect if you haven't decided if you want to be fat or not.
That's your magic audio ball. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Be sure to join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, email Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Remember, we rely on your word of mouth to do everything. Listen to the show, buy our products, and do all the good stuff at Amazon. If you want to get Open Mic, the audiobook, it's available right now on iTunes, Google Play, and also at MikeO'MaraShow.com and the aforementioned Amazon. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara, inviting you to join us again for another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
KevinMeany.com. So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Wait, don't go. I need to tell you that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is perfect for all your online shopping needs. Shop the best way. Shop Amazon. And please go through our website, always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon.
Hey! Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.